And welcome back to another episode of the Streaking the Line podcast. Once again, my name is Pierce. I've got a couple new voices with me from streakingthelawn.com. Emily, how's it going?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. If you guys listen out there, you've probably caught a bunch of her articles recently on Streaking the Line, and we're excited to have you here. We're going to talk hoops mainly tonight because we got a very special guest. The internet's premier fake UVA coach, I would say. Look, worldwide premier fake UVA coach, Phony Bennett, is in the house tonight. Phony, how is it going?
Fantastic. I'm excited because it's in the dead period of sports, and I need someone to talk to sports about. So thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you, and we're excited to talk sports. It's that weird part of the summer where it's still hot as crap and feels like summer, but football starts real soon and basketball starts right thereafter. So we're getting all those good camp reports in, off-season, preseason prognostications and things like that. But we can review some of those. We can do some of our own, and let's just jump in to the basketball talk and the Phony Bennett talk. I want to start there. I'm curious. Can you give our listeners who don't know, maybe haven't caught the interviews you've done, how'd you get into this fake coaching gig? It's a pretty impressive following you got going.
You know, I kind of happened by accident. It started as a goof. I was spending more time on Twitter, and Brian was one of the guys that I would interact with more, and it had become kind of a companion, you know, when I was watching games. And I'd been thinking about it, and I was kind of at a point where I was trying to I think I've used the phrase find the funny again. I was, my you know, their family illness and all that, and I don't know how much we want to, you know, get into that, but so it kind of started, and it was all just jokes about pace and you know, the transfers, a lot of that stuff. And it quickly became apparent that I can't sustain a Twitter account on jokes. So I started kind of branching out, and for some reason that I still don't totally understand, people started to get interested and managed to stay interested even after the pace of the jokes, I guess. I'm very fortunate, and it's fun. I mean, it's my companion when games are on, and I love just kind of interacting with all you guys and the broader Twitter audience. So,
well, yeah, it's a huge audience, and it includes, I think, the most amusing interactions I see are with current players or former players or the occasional person who thinks you're actually Tony Bennett.
I've had parents try to get me to watch their kids' mixtape. You know, sometimes the students, like, I understand, but it's like, man, you're a parent, like, you can't. But there was actually I had heard through the grapevine that Frankie Baducci, am I saying that right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm not sure. that he originally thought that was that I was Tony Bennett. So it's fun. I set people straight because I'm not, it's not one of those accounts. I think sometimes there's accounts that are actually trying to fool people, and that's never
been
at all. So, you know, there's some people that I think kind of bemoan the fact that it's not all straight, like, as this character, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be doing it if I had to stick to that, quite frankly. So, you know, if you want the good stuff, you got to take the rest.
Absolutely. And you've even gotten the man, the legend, Tony himself, to reference it a couple times. I think he's sort of been like, oh yeah.
Yeah. He's mentioned it on some of the shows with, Dave, and then, one of the VAF events I was at, I was talking to, Dave before the show. And so then Dave said, hey, can I announce that you're here? And I was like, yeah, no big deal. You know, he's just going to say, Phony Bennett's out there. And he actually pointed me out, and I'm standing against the wall, 'cause I got there like, so I'm standing there, and like, all of a sudden, like, people are looking over at me. And then, yeah, when Tony got on stage, he said some nice things about, you know, what he's heard and stuff. So, that was kind of neat, 'cause I was with my daughter, and she was 11 at the time.
So. Oh, cool.
Afterwards, people came up to say hi, or, you know, some folks that that follow me. And, you know, for that brief moment, I was cool in front of my daughter.
Yeah. Short-lived. But
yeah, you have to remember those moments, though, few and far between. But that was a nice night.
That's awesome. So what's probably one of the more memorable interactions that's taken place, maybe something unexpected that this has brought you?
Probably getting a call from Seth Greenberg while I was playing disc golf on a Sunday morning. that was, it was a weird morning. I'm out there and you know, we're having fun on the course. And I, Seth had tweeted something, I guess game day was coming that week. And, you know, I went back like, I don't know, remember exactly what I said. I think I said something like, hey, if you come on our podcast, I'll make you famous. and of course he already is. So like a couple of minutes later, I got a DM from him. Hey, send me your cell phone number. And, so I did. And next thing you know, he's calling me and it's like, hey, and I mean, he was such a nice guy. Like, hey, yeah. Why a guy like that could recruit, because instantly I've never talked to this man in my life and he's just personable and you just feel at ease with him. So that was very unexpected. And that was a whole lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Who's your favorite person you've interacted with so far? Like, who's the funniest, or who gives you the funniest comments or reactions to things that you tweet?
On Twitter, you know, your own Paul, he's pretty funny. he bailed tonight. He didn't want to have to talk to me tonight.
You intimidated him.
I know where I stand with him, but he's Tucker Martin. I know some of you guys. Mm-hmm. No, Tucker. He was a press secretary for one of our governors. Real nice guy. Mm. He's really funny though, and yeah, we get sometimes fun interactions with that. But I mean, I've had, you know, sometimes like the athletes and stuff will say something unexpected, and I kind of like watching that and those guys knowing what a kind of a fishbowl they're in.
Yeah,
you know, it's nice to see some of them kind of loosen up, but not get to listen to stupid stuff.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a good transition really into talking about the basketball team at this point. I mean, this has been an off season quite unlike any other teams ever had to deal with. You know, they made some unfortunate history after a super successful otherwise year. You know, one of the few teams to win multiple ACC tournaments in recent memory. Returning these guys, I mean, these are star players that are becoming household names for not just UVA fans, not just ACC fans. They've got about as much scrutiny on them as possible, along with Coach Bennett. How are you, you know, looking at this offseason as a fan and as someone who's out there commenting on it? What are your thoughts about how the team's been dealing with this?
I mean, everyone's saying the right things, and and you know, you can tell they're using it as motivation. And yeah, as a spectator, it's hard to tell like how much that actually. I mean, how many wins is motivation worth at the end of the season? And and that chip on your shoulder. Okay, well, what is that? You know, is that going to let you score extra points against Duke? But they're focused, and that's the off season is that's the important time, because you know these guys are they're in the gym, they're just putting up shots, but they're working on getting their physique right, and they need to have that motivation. So going into the season, the two things that come to mind, and it's certainly the glass half full or the glass completely full side of things, is this is going to be as motivated as a Tony Bennett team has ever been because of that loss. And secondly, I do believe, particularly if Braxton Key becomes eligible, that this is going to be the most talented team that roster that Tony Bennett's ever had to work with. So if you got the most motivated and the most talented one, I would think that's going to portend good things. The loss to UMBC is still a mystery to me. I mean, there are so many things you can point at that kind of added up. What stuck with me was how you kind of saw them give up in the second half. There was a point with about 10 minutes left where they were broken. And that's an important experience for them. And I think that moment can be a very good learning experience for them. You know, I don't know how much they're going to learn from the rest of the game, but if they can take that and embrace it and, use that to be better next time, then you know, this is going to be a really good team.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things I think we've seen with UVA's ascent into ACC championship contender. Those teams that have been historically there, they get upset every once in a while. They blow leads every once in a while. They don't get the condemnation of the style they're playing or the mental fortitude or, you know, those guys are soft or whatever you would hear after, you know, this isn't the first surprising upset that a Tony Bennett top team has gone through or a blown, you know, opportunity like the Syracuse game. Those things are starting to collect, and while we could point to, you know, beating Duke at the ACC championship, beating Carolina at the most recent ACC championship, winning other big games along the way, I'm not fully convinced that they don't deserve some of this criticism, you know, in terms of the resume.
You're saying criticism stylistically or criticism of something mental they've got going on?
Yeah, whatever the combination of these things, saying they haven't gotten it done to the level that they should be.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's, what, 351 teams, mm-hmm. you know, the 68 are going to make March. Two are going to be in that final game. There's so much that can happen, and it's easy for me, but I know I'm not the most objective guy as a fan to look at, you know, that Michigan State game. That was so close.
And, yeah.
Was that the one that AG got injured at halftime? Was that?
I don't. No,
they start to run together for me.
Yeah, right.
But the idea is basically, if you look at each of those, like, you can kind of, you know, have reasons. Okay, that's mm-hmm. why we lost this one. That's why we lost this one. And so it's easy to collectively look at them and say, well, they just fall short of mm-hmm. where they should be. You know, I think in some ways, maybe we weren't as good as some folks thought in some past years. I don't think that was the case last year. I thought that was a champion mm-hmm. caliber team last year. But things are going to happen. And for things for us to lose that UMBC game, everything had to go wrong.
Yeah,
and it did. And yeah. You know, we watched it one by one. You know, from before tip off with the DeAndre Hunter news. Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, I'm not just saying, well, if we had DeAndre Hunter, we
of course
it doesn't matter. We should have won that game without
right.
DeAndre Hunter. And so as far as the motivation, is that what we were talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're gonna have the right mindset and the right talent, and then it's just gonna remain to be seen. You know, if they have that mental fortitude
right.
to take that next step. Right. And it's going to be a while before we know that.
Right. But, yeah. Emily, how have you responded, whether outwardly or inwardly, to those types of criticisms to, you know, the program or the players in specific or the style and things like that? When people say, hey, UVA, they're never going to get over this hump because this, that, and this. You know, do you think there's some truth to that? Are you just completely denying it and saying we've had bad luck, or somewhere in the middle?
I mean, I like to think of myself as a realist when it comes to UVA sports. I was not, you know, like one of those people raised a Virginia fan who always was Team Virginia everything. And so I kind of came in a little bit skeptical. Granted, when I came in, we ended up 2014, 2015 were pretty good years for our basketball team. Sure. So that definitely helped. But I think kind of coming in with that perspective, I've kind of maintained that throughout, where it's like, realistically, you can play as much defense as you want, but you can't be a national title contender unless you can match that kind of output offensively. And I think that's always been our issue. You know, no matter how many times you can succeed defensively, you're not going to stop a Kansas or a Kentucky from posting, you know, 85, sure. 90, 100 points. So if you're going to get to the national title game and you're going to be playing against those type of teams, you have to be able to get baskets, and you got to be able to put more points on the board than we were, especially 2014, 2015, 2016. And I think this past season was the first season that we really saw kind of an increase in mm-hmm. what we could do offensively. And I mean, you know, I'm right with there with Ufone, where I'm saying it's not that we didn't have DeAndre Hunter and that was make or break, but he's one of those guys who can increase our offensive output. And I think that was something that we need. And I think that's something that the team is kind of trending upwards on. So that's good. But I mean, it's hard for me to sit there when people are criticizing Virginia and tell them that they're completely wrong when I kind of, you know, like you watch it and you can watch. I don't mind the pace. I like it. I've grown to appreciate it. But like, you know, you also can see the downside to that type of play.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was Mark Titus who said it, that, you know, the problem with our offense is there's no plan B. And, you know, the blocker mover is one of the least exciting offenses. You know, you can certainly, you know, argue about that, but you know, when it's on, it's very efficient, and you know, we've had some very good efficiency. The pace hurts us, but when that's not working for us, we really don't seem to have anything to fall back on. Sure. And you know, certainly with like a DeAndre Hunter, we've needed those guys that can create their own shot, and Kyle and Ty have both shown flashes of that and some willingness, and I hope that we cultivate that plan B more. And you know, sometimes you're just gonna have to you know, ISO, you know, let a guy ISO and you know, do something. And we need to have that creativity, guys with that creativity and a coach that allows it, you know, when what's planned isn't working. And we really didn't have anything to fall back on that last game. And, you know, if the defense isn't working, you need that.
I mean, I think that also speaks to kind of offensive versatility. And I think that's something that we haven't necessarily had. And I think that's something that we're starting to see more with some of the younger players and kind of like you said, Tony Bennett, trying to more develop a plan B. But, you know, if you have a game where Ty Jerome's not hitting threes, then like can't really count on Ty Jerome for that many points.
Right.
And that's something that definitely is a weakness too. I mean, Kyle Guy definitely saw improvements in that regard last season, especially working on, you know, kind of his jumper, deep twos, those kinds of things. So I think as long as that increases, hopefully that's a positive sign, but you need options and that's not something we necessarily had.
Yeah. I feel like in that game, none of them for whatever reason could hit anything from three. And so all I really remember, it is a blur, is a lot of Kyle going to the lane, getting just bludgeoned and the ball not going in and they're not being
right. I don't,
yeah, I'm not trying to say the refs were screwing us or anything like that.
No, yeah, I can't,
but it wasn't working.
Kyle does not get calls. And I don't know, you know, as much as I hate the Coach K school of flopping and exaggerating, I think that's what he's going to need to do is to show the refs that he's taken this contact, because he's more than willing to go up and power through it. And then you watch the replay and he's just, you know, getting clobbered, but you know, show it, make sure the ref knows. And I mean, you know, I don't want to assume any kind of bias in it, but maybe he's just, you know, not letting on that he's getting fouled.
Maybe it's the man bun. Maybe they still remember and they're just haters.
Everyone remembers the man bun.
So what are you guys looking forward to, you know, in this hopeful rebound, this hopeful response season? I mean, like we said, we've got the talent to contend for a championship, at least at the conference level, if not nationally. Again, what are some of the specific questions that you want to see answered besides, are they going to respond? Besides, do they have the mental toughness, you know, to win some close games? What are some specific player improvements or things like that that you're looking for?
For me is Mamadi, because, you know, I he should be a starter this year, I think is the expectation. And last year, basically, I think it was about the midway through the season, he started showing this like increased confidence and showing the kinds of things he could create on one end and cause on the other end. And, you know, one of the knocks against him has always been he kind of makes mistakes. He's a little bit excitable out there at times. But what he was getting better at doing is when he – I don't even know if he was making fewer mistakes, but he was making up for those mistakes. He was staying in plays. And so if he you know, if he wasn't in position when a guy got the ball, he's getting the block from behind. Or if he gave it up, he's, you know, getting a steal at the other end. And just staying in the game. And I love the enthusiasm that he has. And I think that we've really not seen his ceiling. And, hopefully he gets there this year. Hopefully he's given the freedom and the staff has the patience. They've not always been the most patient when guys are making mistakes on the court. And I think they got a little bit more open to that last year, but he's a guy that's going to need the freedom because what he brings to the table more than offsets the mistakes he's going to make.
It's a little bit of that, like, Justin Anderson factor. Not that they're really similar players, but right. The energy, just the smile, even. I think.
Right. I was about to say, when Momedy makes a big play, I think he gets more excited than anyone.
Yeah.
Right. He has so much fun out there. And
yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's fun to watch, and that's got to be a good influence on the rest of the players on the court.
Sure.
So that's he's a joy to watch, and so that's probably the one I'm looking forward to the most. I mean, DeAndre, obviously, we want to see what he's going to bring this year, but that almost feels like more of a known. It's going to be better than last year. I mean, I think this guy, still hasn't come close to peaking, but there's so many guys.
I mean, we could do a whole podcast on each of the guys.
Going
probably
down the roster.
40 minutes
Austin
on
Kastra.
The cojones of Ty Jerome's range in shooting three-pointers on the road could be a 45-minute segment. But Emily, did I steal your answer there, or what are you looking for?
I want to see DeAndre Hunter come into his own. I mean, I know it feels like a known, but you just think about the fact that, like, what we saw from him last year was just him as a six man.
Yeah.
We haven't even really seen him be given, like, full reign to, like, go out there and, like, absolutely do his thing. So I'm really excited about that. I mean, I think all the guys have, it looks like, been putting in a lot of work over the summer. And, I mean, he definitely is one of those people who, like you said, has not reached a ceiling. And I don't think that's going to happen this year, but I think he will get closer to it. And I'm really excited for what that means. I mean, he was an incredible asset to the team last year coming off the bench. So as someone who will be starting and actually contributing significantly more minutes, I feel like that's a lot of potential right there.
Absolutely. I think I'm excited to see Kyle Guy be more of the go-to guy, you know what I mean? Like, he's always been a great shooter. He definitely took strides last year, both offensively and defensively. And like we're saying, trying to get in the lane, trying to do the teardrop thing, things like that, not just be a quick release three-point shooter. And it's great that he's improving that, but I want more of the villain from him. I want some of what Ty brings. I was going
to say
Duke.
I think Ty is our villain. But
I want, like, the reason why opposing fans are going to hate him the most, probably, of any of the UVA players. And we thought that was him coming in. He had some swagger. And I think Ty has sort of taken that mantle, and I want them both to do it.
Did he lose the swagger with the man bun?
It's not unfair to suggest.
But you mentioned his defense, because that was something that I don't think he got enough pub for last year. His defense had really improved from his first year. He struggled on three-point shooting for a while, but in ACC play, but he was getting a lot of extra attention, and maybe his first year you say, okay, it's not worth having him in if he's not generating on the offensive end, because the thinking was he was a defensive liability. Well, last year he wasn't. He was good on defense. I expect him to continue to improve on both ends this year, and that starting five is going to be strong.
Should be. I think replacing Hall is still a big question. I think that certainly will come down to does Key play. People are really high on Braxton Key coming in, which is fine, but also, where's the evidence to me? Where's the evidence besides that the coaches are excited about him?
Right.
That this is a guy who's going to be able to step into Hall's role well enough. And Hall had his ups and downs, but, he was a key player. I'm making plays all over the place here.
No, I think he had 12-6 his freshman year, and then his second year he was injured and then fell back in the lineup, I guess. Wasn't getting the minutes, but I think he can be an efficient player, you know, is he going to kind of fill that same DeAndre Hunter role? Mm-hmm. Certainly, if we're spending more time going small, then, you know, there's, you know, having both he and Dre in at the same time, it could be really exciting and very difficult for teams to defend that.
Absolutely.
I think going back to the Devin Hall thing, I think the biggest thing you're replacing there also is consistency that we lacked a lot of the times without him last year. Mm-hmm. You know, like you had Zay have like such kind of highs and lows throughout the season. You had Ty Jerome doing the same kind of thing, but you always had Devin Hall, even at his lows, was still relatively consistent compared to a lot of the other guys. So, I mean, I think even if it's Key coming in, just posting a couple points and helping make a couple plays every game, I think we need kind of all those little pieces to click to make up for losing Devin Hall.
Absolutely. And maybe one of the freshmen happens to fall into it. I mean, you would think Marco is there to make that step, but right. You know, the smattering of reports I've seen is that might not be the answer right now, at least.
Gotcha.
He did perform though when he did get put in last year.
Oh, he was great.
He did what he needed to do, even if, you know, that's not indicative of how he plays all the time, but
he's got that promising Malcolm Brogdon shot to him that is, I don't want to say ugly, because anything that goes in, but it is unique.
It's a good adjective for it.
Yeah. But the reports on the freshman are optimistic from what I've seen around. You know, that Statman's a good shooter. The staff really likes Clark. Maybe the answer lies there. And again, maybe the redshirt question is answered by
Kevin. And that's that, you know, I suspect that at this point, I'd guess that both the bigs are going to redshirt the Statman and
or Cafaro and Cafaro?
Yeah.
I should probably be looking.
But. Yeah. Until I haven't heard an announcer say the names, I've only met. You know, it depends, you know, we haven't even mentioned Jay Huff yet. Right.
Oh,
you know,
it's got
a lot of those redshirt questions may depend. Is he, you know, is he finally going to come into his own? And, mm-hmm. you know, I know he's such a fan favorite and he seems to have so much potential, but when he did come in last year, you would typically see why he didn't play as many minutes. Cause he defensively, especially, he made a lot of mistakes and, you know, so like, is he ready? And right. Unfortunately with that injury, he didn't get the time in the gym this summer
right.
that he would have had. So I hope he's coming along quickly. I mean, you know, some of that maturity of the game may just be, you know, getting enough, you know, film repetition and some of that mental maturity. So, you know, if he can step up and even be close to what fans think he is, he's going to be.
Fans love J.F.
I mean, you see why, you know, like that, what was it, the Lehigh game last year that he got some extended play and that just turned into dunkathon right. towards the end. I mean, he brings something that few people in the country in basketball are bringing in potential.
I don't know. Mamadi might be stealing his dunk thunder.
Sure.
Mamadi Ty Jerome duo.
Oh, that was yes. I watched that 4,000 times.
The clip that Damon posted.
Yeah,
it's wild.
The Ty Jerome clip I watched the most is that look away, but that pass, the fake pass before the three against Duke. Like if you're looking, there was no one over there, and he's like passing it to the timekeeper, and the Duke guy just bites and dives over, and I mean that was just stone cold.
That's, the cheerleader reaction slays me every time I see it. It's like,
I was actually just thinking about that because Grayson Allen was one of the counselors at the CP3 camp that Ty Jerome mm-hmm. just went to, and I was mm-hmm. like, man, I would have loved to be like a fly on the wall watching them interact.
I don't get the impression that Ty is nice for the sake of being nice, but maybe he's totally different off the court. I don't know the guy. I also think Huff, the injury is a big deal, but the Chick-fil-A and the Pav has been closed all summer too. So I don't know what he's been eating because literally every time I'm in that Chick-fil-A during the school year, Jay Huff is there. So Jay, in case you're listening, I'm on to your diet and I'm worried about you.
I'm trying to just bulk him up. They're like, probably just like eat everything.
Pounds of waffle fries will do that. Well, I think that bringing up that camp is a good point, or the CP3 showcase, to something I wanted to discuss, which is the NBA potential. I mean, it's an off season away, or a season away into next off season. But what do you guys think we're going to be seeing with, whether it be Dre, whether it be Ty, whether it be, I mean, Mamadi's got the physical ability right there. What should we be most panicked about as Virginia fans?
All right, I'll start. I think we should be panicked if Dre doesn't go, because if Dre doesn't go, it means he didn't have the kind of year that we all
want him to have.
Yeah. And if he doesn't have that kind of year, the ceiling for this team is a whole lot lower. So
yeah,
I want Dre to have the kind of year where he's going to be a lottery pick, because if he has that kind of year, chances are that this team is very successful.
Absolutely.
I can't say at this point I see any of the other guys being NBA ready after this year. I mean, that doesn't mean they won't test them. It doesn't mean some of them won't make that decision to start their professional careers. But I would be surprised. I think it's a possibility with some of them, but you're going to have to see, you know, a very large jump, not just kind of continued development, but kind of a jump in their game to the next level.
I mean, after that CP3 camp, Ty started making some way too early 2019 mock drafts, so that could be promising as well. I mean, I don't think that I would have seen him going next year,
right,
until this summer, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think end of last season, like, that wasn't something that was on my radar, at least. I know he and Kyle have both definitely probably talked about it, thought about it, but I didn't really see it as a real thing that could possibly happen until the summer. And I think maybe that's a testament to kind of the progress that he's making, which is also promising for us for next season.
Oh, yeah. If Ty is a first rounder next season, then he's going out with a national championship. I mean,
right.
If that guy is playing at that level, you know,
if he pulls a DiVincenzo, you know, makes that tournament run, and that man, Dante, the kid from Villanova, his performance in the tournament easily bumped up his draft stock.
Oh yeah,
so
made himself a few million there.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it can't be understated or undervalued what it would mean to the program to have Dre make it, you know, into the lottery. Obviously, I'd love for him to stay and, you know, play awesome ball and win things here on grounds. But that's huge if UVA can say, look, you know, we got this guy the ball. He got better. We made him better. He wasn't slowed down. He wasn't, you know, hanging back because of the slow pace. And look at, you know, what he was able to accomplish as not a really, you know, blue chip recruit. He was finally ranked, but he wasn't, you know, a burger boy.
Oh my God, in terms of like recruiting potential, that would be huge. I mean, you even see like after like Justin Anderson and then like Malcolm Brogdon and AG and like those guys started finding success professionally, like what it's done to be able to bring in guys like we're getting now and even guys like Dre. If he ends up being a lottery pick, if he or Ty like both end up going next year, that would be huge.
So maybe that is fun.
And you know, I don't blame anyone from going early. I mean, as long as it's a decision, if they're going to get drafted and get that contract, then go. I mean, I tell everyone, if, you know, after my second year of college, if someone had said, hey, come work for me, I'll give you $1 million a year. I'm only going to guarantee you a 2-year job though. And, you know, you may not have a job after that, but a millionaire for 2 years, I would have left my book bag and all my crap in the room, and I'd be gone.
Some of that we'll see with the new NCAA rules, the fact that they're tweaking what happens if you don't get drafted, but you had hired an agent. So I will never, ever, ever fault anyone for taking the money.
Right.
For sure. No. I think we can jump in now to, I know Emily's prepared some rapid fire hot seat type questions for you, Phony. And we're going to see if she's taken Darn's spot on the podcast.
I was not aware there was such a segment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Darn's well versed in this. So Emily's going to give it a go, though, whenever you're ready.
I will. I will, I'm going to preface this, but I had Darns on my podcast last year when I was still at school. Mm-hmm. It was mostly just me making fun of her tweets.
That's totally appropriate.
The game we played was like me reading like ridiculous tweets and like asking Darns if she, like, if they were hers or if I made them up, and like, the ones that were actually hers she thought were made up. You know, things that she just like threw out there on Twitter in the heat of the moment. Mostly about Jack Salt. But these ones for you, Phony, are like quick, like off the top of your head, like first reaction answers.
Okay.
He sounds excited.
So you're going to ask me a question, and I just like, this is like a psychological test. Am I getting
it? Yeah. Like first thing that comes to your head, like one word response, like 1, 2, 3, go.
Okay. Wow.
On paper, better or worse than last season's team?
Better.
Loss of Isaiah and Devin, impact on a scale of 1 to 10?
6.
Most important returning player?
Dre.
Best freshman?
What's that?
Best freshman, first year. Sorry. Clark. Most underrated player?
Jack Salt.
Most overrated player? Wait, hold on.
Are you Caroline?
Yeah, can we go back to that one real quick?
Jack Salt underrated. Explain.
I mean, look at our starters, probably our projected starters for next year. Kyle, Ty, Dre, probably Momedy, and then almost certainly Jack. So Momedy, you can't really say he's underrated. I think he has a higher ceiling, but he's probably rated properly for where he is now. Mm-hmm. Ty and Kyle get a lot of pub. Jack serves, you know, Jack's not a... I don't say underrated as an NBA prospect or as, I mean, you know, there's
what he contributes to the team now,
but as far as what he does for the team, he plays a really important role. And especially on the blocker mover side of things, you know, he's good at what he does there. And, you know, damn, he's an intimidating specimen. So that's my answer. Is that what Caroline would say?
Yeah, maybe with more like vitriol at anyone who disagreed, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably fair. She might throw in how much she loves him like one or two more times. You're on the right track.
And he's such a polite, nice guy.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah.
He's awesome.
All right. Well, on that note, not the answer I was expecting, but now most overrated player.
Oh God. Ooh. If I say one of our good players, then, man, Twitter's going to hear about this. Most overrated player, Jay Huff. I say that because there's no possible way he's as good as fans think he is. you know, if 20-year-old Wilt showed up in that court in a Jay Huff jersey, folks, he still couldn't live up to you know, he posted that video of him dunking from the line, and everyone's like, oh, that's it. That's, you know, four national championships. And, you know, move over Ralph for bringing New Jersey down. And he needs to show it. I'm not saying he can't get there. I'm not saying he won't get there. But, you know, there's a reason he doesn't get the minutes right now.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Now, a couple questions. Are you team X or Y? Are you team Kyle or Ty?
Oh, okay. I was like, X or Y. I don't even know what those stand for.
Sorry.
Are those variables? I was told they wouldn't be
algebra. Okay.
Kyle or Ty?
Going to stick with Kyle.
Okay. Momedy or Jack Salt?
Momedy.
Dre or Isaiah? Let's do that one like defensively. Who's more important, Dre or Zay?
Zay. And
are you dunk or
pause? And I know we said Devin Hall is going to be such a loss, but they may be the harder guy to replace.
For sure.
That's true.
Because of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Where was I? Oh, sorry. Lost my train of thought. Are you Malcolm or Justin Anderson?
Ooh. Oh, man. Why am I picking between those guys?
Yeah, it's like mom and dad.
I gotta go with my man Justin. He was one of the first players that followed me, and
wow,
you know, and Malcolm. That's actually mental. I did ask Malcolm. why, you know, if he was ever going to get on Twitter, and he actually gave me an answer that made me want to close my Twitter account. So, but Justin's still there, so I'll say Justin.
All right. Do you hate Duke or UNC more?
Duke.
And last but not least, are you team Tony or Phony?
I mean, Phony exists because I'm team Tony. So I can't believe in myself.
Awesome. Those are good. Those are tough. I'm glad I don't have to answer those ever. That's never going to be a segment.
Right, I would have gone through and made fun of your tweets too, but honestly, there's too many of them that would have taken me a really long time to get, you know, enough good ones there. And you also don't say as dramatic of things as Caroline does. Hers were pretty easy to spot.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
ridiculous ones.
You know, if you really want to look, you just look at the timestamps and find the tweets near the end of close games. Because that's when my bourbon levels are reaching
lubrication later in the evening.
Loosen
up the typing.
I am so fortunate that I just finally like pushed the computer away at the end of the Louisville game, because I'd given up on that game a minimum of 3 times. they're giving me hope again. Oh, this is more, because, and you know, I was just like, don't say if you can't say something nice. And then I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely the shut down Twitter type, like the close the laptop type. Mm-hmm. Are you the change the channel type? No judgment. I'm just,
no,
they're out there.
The
sounds
last
like a little bit of judgment there.
No, the last Virginia basketball game I didn't watch till the end was the Tennessee game. December 30th. And I just couldn't, because that was a team that they lost their way in that game. And probably if you're saying, hey, in the UMBC game, we gave up, we lost our heads or whatever, I think you go back to that game. That's the closest there is. Syracuse was a different kind of thing. And I put Syracuse a lot on the coaches, but I watch everyone, and they're not always pretty, and people get on me sometimes, because sometimes I'm critical, and you know, I mean, I'm not a media member, I'm just a fan, and sometimes it hurts people's feelings, and I mean, I don't like people saying unfair things, but
there's a line. It's okay to ride, I think.
Right. If someone's not having a good game, I won't always call them out. I mean, who cares if I call them out? But I mean, you know, if I say something, I try to be at least,
you're fair about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying anything but so mean. If I'm criticizing a guy like that, there's probably hopefully a joke that I'm making at the same time that I think the criticism is worth the laugh, maybe. But that's my goal.
All right. Well, I'm going to close things up with a couple food-related questions, because we're big fans of talking about food in addition to UVA sports on here. And Emily, since it's your first podcast, we're going to include you here. You both are going to get to answer just a couple food-related questions, the first of which, Phony, will start. What is your go-to Bodo's order?
My go-to Bodo's order is a plain bagel with lox and cream cheese. I guess it's the lox and cream cheese sandwich, they actually call it on the menu. And coffee or tea, depending on the time of day.
And how sad are you that they don't carry capers for that lox sandwich?
Yeah, I've never been a caper guy. I mean, lox tends to be salty enough. I think capers can kind of be gilding the lily. It's a personal preference, but lox and cream cheese, that's perfect for me.
Love it. All right, Emily, same question.
I'm a bacon, egg, and cheese. I'm a bacon, egg, and cheese kind of girl. Usually on a sesame bagel. I used to be strictly cream cheese on bagels. Like, I was never into like the sandwiches, but Bodo's changed that for me in college.
The egg sausage with cream cheese, stellar.
Really?
Stellar. I do the jalapeno lime egg sausage, and it is magnificent.
Wow.
I'm a little worried about the proliferation of cream cheese and recipes. Every Facebook video where they shoot it from above of somebody making a dish, one of the first ingredients is a block of cream cheese.
Yeah.
Block of cream cheese, stick of butter, pound of sugar. Yeah.
Or three recipe salt. Pinterest, or three ingredient Pinterest recipes. One of them is always going to be cream cheese. And
All right.
As a nation, we need to be concerned about that. Yeah.
Next, we'll go final question. Go to spot you have to hit up in Charlottesville for a restaurant when you're back in town, Phony.
I mean, for me, it used to be Martin's. Mm-hmm. You know, really, it's the Virginian anymore. I used to, the Virginian was the first place I had in Yingling. And it was before Yingling distribution. I mean, guys, this is, this might be.
Way back when Brian Leon
before you were born, maybe. But I mean, Yingling wasn't in as wide distribution, and the bartender there was from Pittsburgh, I think, and so he was the one that had helped get it in. And you know, I thought it was good beer because you couldn't get it anywhere else. Now it's like, okay, it's average beer, but it's still it's good for average beer. And I used to get that and some kind of coffee with what's that hazelnut liquor in it?
Amaretto or whatever.
No, it's Frangelico. Frangelico, yeah. I used to drink coffee with Frangelico and study. I was
so you were an English major.
Yeah. Okay. Government. Constitutional law and political theory. So
close. That mac and cheese, though, at the Virginian.
Yeah, normally I didn't eat it. It was normally drinking stuff. Yeah.
Been there. Do they still do Sundays are all specials? There was one. Like winter, I remember we discovered that the Virginian on Sundays was doing all their nightly specials were available on Sunday, and it turned into a beautiful disaster. But that was many years ago as well.
Yeah, I remember that.
Emily, same question.
My honest answer,
yeah,
is going to be cookout.
I love cookout,
but since this is now public. I'm going to rephrase and I'm going to say Boylan because I just, that top floor of Boylan was very good to me during my time at school. You know, go get a nice burger, post up for the night, watch a game because I didn't have cable like the true millennial I am. So that was my spot.
Good stuff. I'm a big fan of Boylan as well. I approve of all your answers there, food related. Well done. I have nothing to judge or yell at, which is very different than when I ask Darn's food related questions. But we've talked about her so much. She's going to be either very offended or very flattered. I don't know. We'll find out. But Phony, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, and we'll look forward to interacting with you on the Twitters, maybe on the podcast again, and who knows what we can talk about, food related or otherwise.
I love to cook. Like cooking is how I relax.
So awesome.
I'm happy if you guys want to do an all food.
Yes, I do very much.
We should do a whole analysis of all those videos Virginia Sports has been putting out of them teaching the athletes how to cook.
Oh, right.
Except they're all like making like quesadillas with like a pound of sour cream. And I'm like, yeah, right, you're supposed to be a division. Right.
Yeah, we can get the recipes and then eat them ourselves and then die from the 4,000 calorie intake.
Right. Yep.
Awesome. Well, Emily, I hope you had a wonderful first experience on the podcast. And Phony, again, thank you for joining us. And thanks for listening. You guys are listening. And stay tuned to the blog. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Till then, go Hoos.